Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizohan Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Zen is about questioning. Zen continuously questions. Zen questioning does not necessarily involve finding answers, but it does involve finding a space in which to sustain questioning, being willing to remain present and upright in the middle of questions. To persevere in Zen practice requires faith, but not a fundamentalist, literalist faith that merely believes in some easily digestible dogma or totally relies on some external being to provide answers and tell us how to live. Zen faith is alive with the willingness and readiness to persist in questioning. Of course, at times insights and responses appear, sometimes more frequently as we settle into the open spaciousness of meditation. But if the answers are worthy, they allow more questions, or they help foster readiness for the new questions offered by the world, by life, and by our own insights. So part of the inspiration for my talk this evening came from an excellent book. This is by Zen priest and teacher Taigen Dan Leighton. And this book is titled Zen Questions. The opening reading is from that book, and I'll share a bit more from it in a bit. But this was part of my inspiration for the talk. I'll share some of the other inspiration for this talk later. But for me, at the very heart of Zen practice and the practice of Zazen or Shikantaza, just sitting, at the heart of this practice is inquiry or questioning. This, in fact, is really the great doubt of Zen that we speak of, which is an essential pillar of Zen practice. Great doubt arises from the great faith that Taigen Leighton points to in that short reading that I opened with. And this mind of inquiry, which is so essential to Zen practice and training, is really an open mind and a ready mind. A mind that is flexible and present to what is, to what arises in each moment, moment by moment, as it arises, as it unfolds. This mind of inquiry, or great doubt in Zen, as Taigen Leighton also points to, isn't so much about finding answers, at least not intellectual answers, not the type of answers that we're normally chasing after or looking for in our questions. Rather, it's about creating and realizing the space in which to sustain or hold questioning, being willing and ready to remain present and upright in the middle of our questions, not grasping at, not being obsessed with the right answer, the correct answer, the one answer. There's a quote by 19th century French writer Pierre-Marc Gaston de Lévis, and he says, "It is easier to judge the mind of a person by their questions rather than their answers." And so this mind of inquiry in Zen is one in which we really embrace and we sustain a mind of radical openness, of profound, deep curiosity, and of radical honesty. And when we can do this, when we can sustain this mind of openness, of profound curiosity, of radical honesty, then the questions that we hold become not just a source of learned knowledge, but rather of lived experience. They become not just a source of learned knowledge, or accumulated knowledge, but they become a source of lived experience, which is what this practice is about. It is about lived experience. And Tygen Layton shares this as well in his book. He says in the title of this book, Zen Questions, the second word is a verb, at least as much as a noun. Actually, from the Buddhist context, all words and all beings are verbs, always in dynamic activity. But provisionally, in our language, we need to utilize words as nouns or adjectives, even at the risk of producing deadened objects. Indeed, Zen questions. It questions our world, our experience, and reality itself. I remember the old bumper sticker, which I still see sometimes. Question authority. Certainly received authorities, whether cultural, spiritual, or the authority of corporations or governmental institutions, need and deserve to be questioned. This is certainly congenial with the traditional questioning in Zen practice and literature. But in the phrase question authority, I also hear questioning as an adjective describing a type of authority. True authority and integrity derive from the willingness to be questioned and to continue the activity of questioning. Much of Zen lore consists of questioning of the venerable old masters by their students. Indeed, questioning creates genuine authority. And so you've perhaps often heard me say in the past that in Buddhist practice, and certainly in Zen practice, this questioning mind is not only welcome, but it is absolutely necessary. It's absolutely necessary for truly knowing ourselves and knowing the reality of this life as it truly is. Dogen taught that to study the Buddha way is to study the self. We cannot study the self without exploring the profound question of who or what we truly are as sentient beings and what this precious life truly is. Who or what am I in this precious life? There's a long history across many religions, spiritual traditions, and spiritual practices of what is often referred to as spiritual inquiry or spiritual question. And this can be said to be a process of really deeply exploring or investigating the profound questions about who we truly are and what this life or the nature of reality truly is. But rather than seeking these fixed intellectual answers to our questions, it's really, in Zen, it's an open-ended investigation, which goes beyond the conditioning of limiting beliefs and concepts, opinions, dogmas, biases, and the habitual ego mind. Zen teacher Donyo Sayter Burke says, "It's not so important that the questions we explore take the shape of neat and discreet inquiries we can express in a sentence ending in a question mark. What is most important is the questioning state of mind. A mind that is curious, open, humble, and attentive. A mind that is aware of its own limits. A mind that is aware of what it does not yet know. A mind that looks critically at life instead of coasting along on assumptions or being satisfied with superficial answers." And this perfectly describes what is known as not knowing, the not knowing state of mind in Zen, which is a mind that is always open to knowing, ready to receive, ready to question, rather than thinking or assuming that we already know. And it's important to understand that this not knowing mind, this is not a mind of ignorance. This is not a mind that is incapable of knowing. This is not a mind that doesn't want to know. Rather, it's a mind that's in a constant state of openness, a constant state of openness to exploring and knowing moment by moment. Because life is always unfolding. Life is always of the nature of change, moment by moment. When we take that perspective of, I know, I already know, then we are not open to life as it is unfolding moment by moment. Because perhaps what I knew in this moment is going to be something different in this moment. Life is always flowing. Life is always unfolding. Not knowing in Zen is about emptying our cup and always being open to receive. The not knowing state of mind is not about simply accumulating the knowledge of others, but it's about accumulating true wisdom through direct experience. And remember that intelligence and wisdom are not the same thing. Intelligence and wisdom are two very different things. Intelligence is often learned. It is something that we learn and we accumulate intelligence. Wisdom is experienced. Wisdom is lived. It is lived experience. Gesho spoke last week in her wonderful talk. She spoke about how, for example, koans open us up to another dimension of knowing. Another dimension of knowing, different from the accumulation of academic or intellectual knowledge, this accumulated knowledge. Koans open us up to another dimension of knowing. And the spiritual teacher, Adyashanti, he says, we are oriented, as human beings, we are oriented to what I call consensus reality, what most people agree upon. But finding what is most important depends not simply on accepting the ideas, beliefs, and opinions of others. It is our questions that have power if we want to live an inspired life and a life that feels like it has great meaning to us. I am not talking about the conventional sense of meaning, like when we say, this is the meaning of my life, and then we go on to define that. I am talking instead about the living feeling of meaning, the experience of being extraordinarily alive, here and present. That is a profound meaning, even if it is a meaning you cannot put into words, because it is an experience and not a definition, not an answer. There's a Japanese word that comes up in Zen, doshin, and doshin is translated essentially as the way-seeking mind, way-seeking mind. In the Tibetan and other traditions, this is also bodhicitta, the awakened heart mind. And it's often defined as the deep, sincere intention to awaken, to understand truth and align your life with that awakened path. Doshin in Zen is said to be the sincere spark, the spark that inspires your spiritual practice and motivates you to seek truth and right understanding, to seek that awakened path in your life. Zen Master Shunryu Suzuki Roshi used to refer to it as our inmost request, which was the fundamental human yearning for meaning, for connection and liberation from suffering, the yearning within us to live an awakened life. And perhaps I think that each one of us, in choosing to explore and to walk this path, has experienced at least a glimpse of this way-seeking mind or this inmost request. Perhaps this is what brought each one of us here to this path, to Sangha, to community. And perhaps each of us, without even realizing it, we've already begun to engage this questioning state of mind that Donio Burke spoke about. That mind of spiritual inquiry, of spiritual questioning. Zen Master Dogen was driven in his practice by his own questioning state of mind, his own spiritual inquiry. Dogen was driven by the question in his life and in his practice, that question that dogged him for years. And that question was, if we are already fundamentally awake, if we already have Buddha nature, if that is already our true nature, then why practice? Why practice if we already have this within us? He was dogged by this question, but he opened his mind to continue the questioning, and ultimately he attained what he was looking for. Continuous practice of the way was his ultimate answer. That even if we have innate Buddha nature, even if we are already innately awake, we must continuously practice, because of course we forget, we lose sight of that innate true Buddha nature within us. And so the answer was continuous practice of the way. One of the most important aspects, I think, of any spiritual inquiry or spiritual questioning is radical honesty, along with curiosity and openness. But radical honesty is one of the most important aspects of questioning. Can we be completely open and honest with ourselves, setting aside our habitual responses, our biases, our beliefs, our ideas, our assumptions about what we know, what we think we know, and honestly looking at and examining what is constantly in front of us, what is constantly unfolding in this precious life? And as Tigan Layton points to, with that openness and that radical honesty in our inquiry, if the answers are worthy, then they allow more questions, or they help foster readiness for the new questions offered, the new questions that arise within us. That openness, that radical honesty, is not about simply becoming stuck on an answer or clinging to some fixed answer, again, to that one true answer that we think is out there to every question. It's about being open. It is about being open to what unfolds. Again, the great doubt or inquiry of Zen isn't so much about finding the answers as it is about fostering an open heart and an open mind, a ready mind, the questioning state of mind. This was Suzuki Roshi's beginner's mind, that open and ready mind, always open to knowing truth and allowing our questions to foster more questions. Being open and ready to that. That open mind of inquiry doesn't simply fixate on grasping for answers or clinging to an answer. I need to know. I need the answer. I need the right answer. Rather, it opens itself and allows for more questions, more investigation, more inquiry, other possibilities, hearing something new, or most importantly, experiencing something new through our lived experience of this practice, of this life, which are not two. Now, I mentioned earlier that one of my inspirations for the talk was this book, Zen Questions, by Dan Layton. But the other was a teaching that Roshi often used to give to us in the form of a question. And very recently I heard one of our community members actually repeat that question. As I was already preparing this talk, I heard her mention this question. And it immediately struck me because I was already kind of in the process of preparing this talk. And I know the monks will remember this question. Roshi often, when someone would talk about, what they were experiencing, and I'm struggling with this, and I'm frustrated over that, and I'm having a difficult time with that, and, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Roshi, in a very humorous way, he would present this question, and everyone would kind of chuckle at the question. Roshi would often say, "And how's that working for you? How's that working for you?" And of course, I too found it very humorous when Roshi would say that, especially his delivery of the question, "How's that working for you?" But the more I thought about this question that Roshi would say, this pose, this question of how's that working for you, I really began to feel that this was perhaps one of the most important, most quintessential Zen questions or spiritual questions that we can truly ask ourselves. When faced with anything, when we're struggling with something, whatever it is that we're experiencing, how important is that question to ask ourselves truly? How's that working for you? How is that working for you? But here's the kicker. The thing is that to ask ourselves that question, we have to do it. We have to approach it with radical honesty. We have to approach it with radical honesty, because so many people, if you ask them, how's that working for you? They'll immediately be like, they'll get defensive and they'll say, it's working for me. This is working for me. It's working just fine. Is it really? Can we ask ourselves honestly, how is this working for me? This thing that I'm experiencing, how I'm approaching this, how I'm reacting or responding to this, whatever it may be, whatever emotion we may be experiencing, whatever challenge we may be dealing with, how's that working for you? That question applies to both things that we feel we want to embrace, as well as the things that we feel a tendency to push away or to run away from. So in other words, even when we're experiencing something that we feel like, I want this, I want to embrace this, I think this is good, I want more of it, we should ask ourselves, how's that working for you? Truly, how's that working for you? And when we experience something that we want to turn away from, that we want to fight against, that we want to push away, again, we should ask ourselves with radical honesty, how's that working for you? This running away, this turning away, this pushing away, wanting to get rid of. I don't want this. I don't want things to be this way. We engage in that struggle. How's that working for you? Can we ask ourselves that question with radical honesty and openness? How's that working for you? To study the self is to truly turn the light inward and look deeply at ourselves, examining deep questions about ourselves with truthfulness and with honesty. And this is not an easy thing, because often to study the self, to ask ourselves those deep questions, particularly with truthfulness and with honesty, asking ourselves truthfully a question like, how is this working for me? This can be very difficult. But this practice of Zazen, this practice of just sitting in this stillness, in this silence, Zazen is the mirror by which we face ourselves. We face ourselves through Zazen. It is the mirror for us to face ourselves, facing the truth about ourselves, even the uncomfortable or difficult parts of ourselves, the deep questions about ourselves and about life, without turning away, without pushing anything away, without running away. Tigan Layton says, Zazen is a question. Zazen is an inquiry. Even when sitting quietly, gently, at the core of our sitting is the activity of questioning. The point of this practice of questioning, however, is not to discover an answer. How do we practice with question? There is not just one way to do this, because we each have our own version of these questions. The practice of sitting involves facing the questions, learning about questioning, deepening our questions, and allowing questions to arise. And so I can't tell any one of you what your spiritual questions or what your spiritual inquiry can be or should be. I can't tell you that, because for each of us, perhaps it's different. And we may also have similar questions, similar inquiries, but for each of us, it can be different. It can take a different form. That's personal to each one of us, though we may face, again, similar questions, similar inquiries, and we may be looking for similar answers. But our practice is one of cultivating, nurturing that questioning state of mind, that not knowing mind, and opening ourselves up to allowing questions to arise within us and remaining with those questions. Donyo Burke refers to these spiritual questions that arise as essentially being subjective questions as opposed to objective questions, because they're often personal to each of us. And so they become some subjective questions. Each of us may think of them differently, we may approach them differently. But of course, when we explore spiritual questions or spiritual inquiry, the lines can cross between subjective and objective questions, depending on the question that we're engaging with. An objective question can become a subjective question. And likewise, what we feel is a subjective question, it may be a question that many of us are thinking of the same question, are approaching the same question, and it can be an objective question. We may engage with questions that arise within us about our spiritual practice or the many teachings that we encounter. So in other words, some of our spiritual inquiries, some of our spiritual questions might be about some of the teachings that we learn, about sutras, about other writings that we learn. What does Zen Master Dogen mean by taking the backward step and turning the light inward? What does Dogen mean by the quote that Gesho shared, and a beautiful quote that Gesho shared from Dogen, that went something like, every creature never falls short of its own perfection. Every creature never falls short of their own perfection. What does Dogen mean by this? And so our spiritual inquiry can be about a practice question, something that we learn, a teaching, a writing. But we also may engage with questions about our life, our place in the world, or the universe. We may engage in larger questions about life itself, about the world or the universe, or reality as it truly is, beyond my sense of self or individual self. And so our questions, our spiritual questions, our spiritual inquiry can take different forms about life, about practice, about teachings. We may have many different spiritual questions that arise within a spiritual inquiry that we engage in. And Donyo Burke outlined, and I feel this is helpful, I'm sharing this because I feel that it's helpful. She talked about a few different categories of spiritual questions. And these can be a useful guide for a basic understanding of spiritual inquiry. And she came up with four different types of questions. And of course, the first one was practice questions, what I just talked about, questions that we may have about teachings that we hear, teachings that we read about, sutras, commentaries, etc. We may have questions about Zen ritual, about Zen etiquette. What is this about? What is the meaning of this? And these are practice questions. Her second category was karmic questions. Who am I in this moment? What has brought me to this moment? What has shaped me? What has shaped my life to this moment? What karma am I carrying that has shaped the person that I am, who I am, right now, in this moment? The third was awakening questions. These, of course, are very deep and profound questions about the nature of life, about the nature of reality, about who I am. Who am I truly in this world, in this life, in this moment? What is life about? What is reality in this life? And the fourth she categorized as skillful means questions. These are questions that arise for us through our practice as we look to be of benefit for others. the Bodhisattva ideal. How do I apply the teachings in my daily life to whatever shows up in my life, to whatever situation I'm faced with? What is an appropriate response? What is an appropriate response, moment by moment, to any given situation? How do I live these teachings in my daily life? These are skillful means questions. And that's a good way to really look at the types of questions that may arise for us. Practice questions, karmic questions, awakening questions, and skillful means questions. And again, it's important to remember that the questioning mind itself, that mind of inquiry, that questioning state of mind, that not knowing state of mind, is more important than the answers. It's often more important than the answers. That open mind of inquiry that welcomes and nurtures, creates space for further questions, for further inquiry. When we say, I know, I already know, or when we talk about what we know, at best, we're often talking about our accumulated knowledge or answers, all the answers that we've accumulated from others, from study, from reading. And there's nothing wrong with this. We, of course, need to accumulate knowledge and answers in our life. We need to know how to do things. We need to learn many different things in our life. But when we get stuck in that mode of, I know, this is what I know, again, at best, we're often talking about our accumulated intellectual knowledge and answers. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But when we are continuously open to asking ourselves the questions, what is it that I know? What is it that I truly know? How do I know this to be true? How do I know this to be true, to be of benefit? This is the not knowing state of mind, the mind that cultivates wisdom through direct lived experience. How is this really working for me? How is this working for others, for the benefit of others? What is an appropriate response or choice in this dynamic, flowing, living moment? This life that is alive, this teaching that is alive, it is not a deadened object. It is not a fixed, deadened object. It is alive. It is constantly unfolding. And so I encourage each one of us to really cultivate, to nurture through this practice, that questioning state of mind without fixating on just intellectual answers, on just accumulated knowledge. I encourage each of us to always be open to experiencing the answers to our questions, to our inmost request, rather than just learning the answers. This practice is about experiencing the answers to our questions. And to experience them, we have to be open to the experience. We have to be ready to take in new experience. We have to be open and ready for whatever arises, to whatever there is to know, in this moment, in the next moment, in each and every moment of this life.